Hey guys, this is Mike Badano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
It totally still went to six.
Okay, the countdown.
This is round two, everybody, of Sarcastic Remarks podcast, because the first one deleted.
Yeah, thanks so much, Riverside. Man, that did not work very well. Okay, anyways.
The Stars won the hockey game in overtime, and somehow Jason Dickinson did something other than exist.
Hey,
Ryan,
hey,
tell me I'm wrong.
He's my man. He's my man. You're wrong. I just wanted to make it last.
Okay, there you go. Like I said, last podcast that got deleted.
Didn't really exist.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. If he gets a goal in the next five games, I'm going to be a Jason Dickinson fan. But it's totally not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all because Jason Dickinson does nothing. Literally, all he had to do there was shoot it in an empty net.
It wasn't an empty net. Come
half
on.
Empty. Sorry.
No,
my bad.
No, it was not a half empty net. That's silly and stupid. No.
You know what else is silly and stupid?
You.
Jason Dickinson.
Jason Dickinson is not stupid. He's my man.
Okay, today he's not silly and stupid. Today I love him.
You know, you hear that, Jason? I hope you listen to this podcast. Chris doesn't like you.
No, I love him. I just
No. You don't like him. You said he just exists. He's there.
Yes. But he's today, I love him because he scored the goals.
Uh-huh. He scored a goal. I told you he had numerous opportunities. You're like, he's not noticeable.
I mean, that's the only opportunity I've seen.
No, he had three opportunities where he just screwed up on the shot. He just whiffed it or something. But
I don't know, dude.
He didn't whiff it today.
He didn't whiff it.
He did not whiff it today. All right, so anyways, I said three games. So I'm going to eat your words. He's going to score another goal in three games. All right?
Not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is happening. All right. All right. And most noticeable player of the game.
Klinger.
Klinger. You like Klinger?
John Klinger. He had a goal. He had a beautiful assist. Those dangles were nasty, dude. Absolutely filth nasty.
Yeah, the shot was absolutely beautiful. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better shot. It literally took 4 seconds for the Stars to score on the power play. And that's all we needed. We just need to go on the power play and we score a goal.
Yep.
So that makes – so out of our – what is that, 13 goals or is that 12 goals?
No idea.
No idea? 12, 13, one of the two. Okay.
We have a lot of goals and not a lot of 5-on-5 goals. They're all
right,
power plays.
Right. So 10 of our 13 goals or 9 out of our 12 goals, whatever it is, have been scored on the power play. And we have three other goals. We have the Esa Lindell shorty. We got the Jason Dickinson 3-on-3s. Oh, so that's not even an even strength goal.
It's even strength.
No, even strength is 5-on-5.
Both sides are even.
No. I don't count it. I don't count it. And then the only 5-on-5 goal we have is the one Radulov tip. Not the super pretty one, but the one that's just as pretty with the backhand and out of midair. That's the only 5-on-5 goal we've had so far this season. Which it's a little bit cause for concern at this point, but I'm just happy that we won the game. We're 3-0 for the first time since 2010-2011 season, and we're missing four of our top scorers. So go figure.
Which is dumb.
All right, yeah. So that's the other thing we talked about, that we have a lot of players that are either injured or just, you know, COVID protocol or whatever. So let's go through those. So out of nowhere today, Roope Hintz decides to get a lower body injury. There's no information at this point that we know of. We just know that it's classified as a lower body injury. Maybe they have something on the post-game show on Fox Sports Southwest, and Brian and Seve will talk about it. But
we don't wait that long. We bring you podcasts immediately.
Well, except when they screw up.
Except when they delete, and then we make another one immediately.
Right. And then, all right, so that's Roope. And then Jamie Benn looked like he was going to make his return tonight, but no cigar. So he practiced this morning.
He skated in the morning, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he skated in the morning and then didn't take warm-ups, which kind of let us know that he's not going to be there tonight. And then
that means he's probably likely on Thursday, though.
I hope so. We'll see. We're also out. Our our best scorer from last year, Tyler Seguin. He's out for a good period of time until is he the one that's supposed to come before Bishop?
I don't know. One of them's in March and one of them's in April. I can't remember. I think he's in March. I'm not entirely sure. I think he is too.
And then so
that was late March.
That's three of our top scorers, three of our top six forwards right there. And then Kivi Ranta is technically a top six forward this year too. So Kivi Ranta is out as well. And then arguably I think is the most important bottom six forward, Blake Como. He's out too because of COVID protocol. So again,
I'll let you say that.
I think he skated did he skate this morning as well? I think he skated this morning as well, but he just didn't play in the game tonight. So.
I don't think he skated. I think he's still technically in quarantine stuff. I'm not entirely sure.
So then what did I see on Twitter? It sounded like they made it sound like that he was sort of kind of out.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's weird. Well, they won't tell us stuff either. So, and we're also missing one of the best goaltenders of the past decade, who has been a Vezina finalist like five times.
Right.
But whatever. Who needs him?
So with all of that, we have some guys named Rhett Gardner come in and Tanner Kiro who come in as well. And they play pretty well. They play fairly decent for some depth guys. And the Stars get the 2-1 overtime win tonight. So lots of good stuff to see from this team. And, you know, maybe I need to eat my words with Jim Nill. And he's been a good GM, and he's gotten the right guys so far. So, and it just seems like this is like a perfect culmination right now. The players that we have, and then the coach that we have that just, you know, happened to become the head coach because of extenuating circumstances with Jim Montgomery, and the perfect GM.
Yeah, that's why I was so, like, upset last year during the playoff run when everyone said, like, oh, this is the last chance that the Stars have. Like, if you looked at the young guys we had, there's no chance it was our last chance. Like, the guys we have coming up are fantastic. Delandria, who we haven't talked about yet, had second most time on ice for a forward.
Well, technically, we did already talk about him, but, you know.
Yeah, in the non-existent podcast.
How many times can we dish out some stuff against them? Whatever. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
But he has 18 minutes, 50 seconds time on ice, and he's a rookie.
Amazing. That's incredible.
And he played outstanding. Like, if you watched the game, you definitely noticed him. There was no chance you didn't notice him. And he was playing great, great forecheck, made great passes, played well on the power play, played well on 3-on-3, I thought. So he's been outstanding. Gardner and Caro, for being nowhere close to NHL last year, they're playing very well for being thrown into the mix that fast. And, like, even, dang, Pisick. Pisick did decent as a forward, so.
Right, and, I mean, he was my most notable person tonight. Not Pisick, but Delandria.
Yeah.
Like
most noticeable, not on the score sheet.
Not on the score sheet, yeah. So he still did really well. And like you said, he was all over the ice, and it seemed like he was most noticeable. Two shots on goal, two hits, a block. He had a takeaway. His faceoff percentage was exactly 50. So he's making his marks on the Dallas Stars team right now. So I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing from him.
And also the last guy who definitely deserves a mention who hasn't gotten it yet. The greatest goaltender to ever live, Anton Khudobin. 9.52 save percentage tonight. Stopped 20 of the 21 he faced. And the one that went in was just a fluke that the guy puck-chopped and it bounced off Haskinen's skate and right to a rookie in front of the net. So that's pretty... Khudobin's been outstanding the past three games. Like, we've kind of glossed over that, but he totally could have just been decent and we would have accepted it because he's not a starting goalie, really, but he's been outstanding, playing just as good as he did in the playoffs, if not better.
Well, and the thing about Khudobin is, and what we didn't get when Niemi and Lehtinen were our goaltenders, when we spent all that money, like over $10 million on these two guys, was when we had those guys and we had the offensive flair that we don't have as much now. I mean, we still have decent offense. It's okay. It's not top 10, but we're getting the goals when we need them. Is that we're getting that huge save when we need it.
That was the
biggest turning point in this game. And if he had not made that save, on that power play the last 5 minutes in the game, we would have been screwed. And it was a huge save. And not to mention, not just that save, but he did it just last game against the Predators. The Predators had a huge opportunity, and he absolutely stoned the Predators on that shot. And everybody knows what I'm talking about.
And the first game in the first period, the Predators had multiple chances that could have gone in and started the game off in a completely different direction. He's made big saves in every single game he's played. And that's definitely true that Lehtinen and Niemi didn't have that, because their numbers are decent when they were with us, but they just never made the save that we needed. But Hudobin and Bishop seem to always make that save. They always stop the shootout or the breakaway chance when we need it. They always make the big pad save in the final minutes of the power play. Those guys are just clutch goaltenders, and both of them fight crazy hard. They both are digging for the number one job while both understanding who really is the number one. So I think having both of those goalies, it's just fantastic.
Right, it's awesome.
And we're super lucky with it, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if we had let Hudobin go?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it would have happened anyway, and we probably would have brought somebody else in, because obviously Jake Ottinger is not going to become the starter of the Stars right off the bat. We might have gone after, Lundqvist or Crawford or, Holtby or one of those guys maybe in a free agency, but we just...
Yeah, man, without Hudobin, we have two losses right now.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We haven't talked about that the last two podcasts, but that's definitely true. Anton Hudobin is outstanding.
Yep, and unlike in the playoffs, he's kind of flying under the radar just slightly. I mean, everybody knows how good he is now, so it's almost like that expectation is there. He's expected to make those saves, and he's doing it,
He's meeting and exceeding it, so it's fantastic, and he's definitely earning his paycheck.
Man, absolutely fantastic. I love Hudobin. And like you said, 9.52 save percentage, 20 of 21 on shots. He was 6 for 6 on the power play when he was needed to be big. He was absolutely huge. Just excellent job.
And this is what I was saying during the preseason, right? Like, one guy needs to go off and get big for this team. Pavelski has done that. Pavelski has been that guy. And tonight it switched. Tonight John Klingberg had major hands in both goals, scored one and basically scored the other one. And Hudobin being on his A game just makes it so much easier. Like, these games have been solid. Like, even this game was close, I still felt like we were going to win. It didn't feel like we were going to lose this game. So,
And that's a confidence that teams who are in the top tier in the league, they have that confidence. And I think the only reason the Stars have that is because they went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. If we had lost against Calgary, I don't think we would have had this same confidence that we've started it off with. We don't have four of our top scorers. We don't have our starting goaltender. We had a defenseman play forward this game, and we won the freaking game. And I know it's against Detroit, but still, it doesn't matter. Detroit is still an NHL team. It's not like they're an AHL team. They've still won two games. Now, it's out of seven, but still, who cares? They've been an okay team. I got to mention somebody else that I think kind of kickstarted the whole game for the Stars. My boy Justin Dowling.
Yeah, in the first two periods, he was definitely very noticeable.
Yeah, and he was centering that awkward line with I think it was him, Gary, and Dickinson. The three of them. So the first line went from Jamie Benn, Gary Onoff, and Hintz to Gary Onoff, Justin Dowling, and Jason Dickinson. So go figure. And he had that really good individual effort starting at the beginning, it was probably towards the middle of the first period, and he drew a call. And that's kind of what got it wasn't the first period, it was the second period, that really got the Stars started. And he's not one of those guys that's going to go and, pull out those highlight reel goals and everything, but he was the one that gave Klingberg the opportunity to shoot the puck from the point. Without Dowling, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
so
he's the perfect display of the Stars' depth. Mm-hmm. We have the best depth in the league. He has 15 minutes time on ice, which for a depth guy is stupid. He had a 56% faceoff percentage, which is very good for someone who doesn't play every day. He played on the power play. He played on the penalty kill. He was a forward. He played everywhere, and he did it great. He had two shots on goal. He had hits. He had blocks. I mean, he was just a great depth player. and he played it so well, and that's what he needs to be. He knows his job, and he does his job amazingly. And it, we're so lucky that we still have him and know the teams have picked him up.
Right, and here's another depth forward. Well, it's not really a depth forward, but a bottom six forward, that one that kind of stood out to me tonight was Cogliano. He was all over the ice tonight.
We expect that from Cogs, though, honestly. Yeah.
That's true, but he was throwing a couple extra hits that he didn't have.
Big hits.
Yeah, big hits. Oh, speaking of big hits, Klingberg almost had that huge hit.
He went
Bobby
for the
Ryan.
Hip check, everybody. The hip check.
And he missed it, but it was still hilarious. I really wish he had connected with that hit, though, because that would have sparked us
fantastic.
Even more. Yeah. So. Oh, and you know, here it is again, Pavelski. Yeah. Again, slides under the radar. Not really somebody we're talking about tonight, but he.
I said Pavelski.
Oh, you did? Oh, well. But anyway, three games. He's on a three-game point streak.
Yeah, and he's definitely the leader of this team right now, too.
Right. Like, definitely offensively, especially.
Like, we're out Ben, Sagan, and actually Como is one of the bigger leaders in the locker room from stuff that I've read and heard about.
Well, so he wears the A.
Yeah, we're out three big leaders, and like, Joe Pavelski is able to step in, and he really looks like the leader on the ice. So it's really good to see.
It really helps when we go and get those people from free agency who have been former captains and stuff like that. And that seems to be a thing that Jim Neal does. He went after Spezza, who was a former captain. He went after Joe Pavelski, who's been a former captain. And especially at times like this when – you know, when COVID's hurting teams and we're getting a bunch of injuries and stuff like that, and it's showing up for the Stars tremendously, and I'm very thankful.
And also one more thing. Well, these games, they kind of look bad. Like, we're gonna win 2-1 against the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have that many guys out, you're trying to survive and win as many games as possible.
Right.
So this is the way that when we have guys out that we're going to win games. We're going to scrap these games out, and we're just going to work harder than the other team. And that's what we have to do. That's what we're going to have to do every game until we get our goal scorers back. So hopefully they get back quicker so we don't have to keep playing hockey like this. But it's fun to see less skilled guys grind out a win any way that they can. So let's enjoy it while we have this, and then we'll enjoy our pretty hockey again later.
So is there anything that frustrated you tonight? There were a couple things that frustrated me tonight, but was there anything that stuck out to you?
It felt kind of like people weren't meshing well. So especially the second.
To be expected.
Which is to be expected, yeah, because all the line shuffled so much with so many people hurt. But especially the second power play unit, it was like they didn't really know what was going on, which, like, obviously, because they don't play on the power play.
They didn't never play together.
Yeah. And the forecheck, especially in the first period, was very bad.
Right. That was the thing that I was going to point out, is in the first period, there was a lot of dump and chase, which, again, was to be expected.
More just dump and dump and not really any chasing.
Yeah, if we did chase it, we weren't winning the puck battle at all.
Yeah.
We would go in, we'd hit the corner, there'd be a couple of little scruffles down there, and we would lose the puck battle in the first period. Now, it got better in the second and the third, but it still wasn't where it needed to be.
Yeah, so, it definitely got better throughout the game. So I'm hoping that's just younger guys they were just kind of feeling out the game, and they got into it better. But, yeah, I think that'll get better as these younger guys play more games.
All right, and here's another thing it's not really frustrating, but it's more of a noticeable thing that's not very good. Heiskanen has looked a little off to start this season, which kind of leads me back to the whole COVID thing. And I think that he might have been one of the ones that that caught COVID and actually showed symptoms and stuff like that. Because
he was still one that very recently got off of it. So he was one of the last people to go back and join team practice. I think like 2 days before the first game is when he practiced again.
Right, and he just looks a little off. He's not doing Haskin anything that he did in the bubble or that he did last season. There are several instances where you and I both were on the Discord channel watching the game together. We were both like, shoot the puck, and it was Haskinen. And Haskinen has a better shot than Klingberg.
Which is weird because normally Haskinen takes it. He takes the offense when they give it to him. which is what he should do. Him and Gurionov and Hintz, like, when they get a chance to shoot, they should shoot. So it was weird seeing him not shoot. I'm hoping that's a coaching thing. Like, you get some film in front of him, and you show him, like, why didn't you shoot here? And then he'll figure it out. So I'm not too worried about it, because I think Heiskanen's an outstanding player. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rag on the guy, but I really want to see him do well, because this is the final year of his entry-level deal, so he's going to get paid. I mean, he's going to get paid. If I had to guess, you know, money-wise, he would make somewhere up in the $6, $7 million range, quite possibly. I mean, Esa Lindell is up in 5.5 range, and
he'll get around there at least.
Yeah, and I just want to see him do well, because you know, he's Heiskanen.
So, yeah, definitely think that'll pick up soon.
Right. So, and then the last thing I wanted to talk about with some, it's not really a frustration, but again, another noticeable thing, and I've already mentioned it, but is the lack of 5-on-5 goals. I mean, it's great that we're scoring on the power play and everything, but eventually that's going to go away. Like and it kind of did today, you know, hot-wise. You know, I think we were, what were we, 1-for-4? Yeah, which is still great. I mean, that's 25%, but that's not 70%. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Sorry. It's not 70%. So at some point, the Stars are going to have to figure out, you know, how to get more 5-on-5 goals. And that whole shot from the point that we did in the bubble, I'm not seeing very much of that. And even Razor mentioned this in the game, is at the very beginning of the game, there's too much east-west movement, you know, across the ice rather than up and down. So, and that, again, that goes back to dump and chase. You get the puck, you win the puck battle, take it out to the point, let Heiskanen or Klingberg or even Oleksiak. Oleksiak's been pretty good, and I've noticed him, you know, wanting to get on to the offensive side of the puck. But that's how we score goals. That's our offense. And we need to get back to that if we're going to get more 5-on-5 goals. So that's just something a couple of things I noticed from the game, which, as fun as it is to win, there's always something that we can do better. So,
in conclusion, the Stars are on a 3-game winning streak.
Right.
Wa-oop.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm sitting here complaining about us on like a 4-game losing streak or something. We need to do this, and we need to do this, and we're on a 3-game winning streak with 4 of our top players out and our starting goaltender and defenseman playing forward on the fourth line. I still can't believe that. That's a great game. Oh, man. Okay, so I got a question for you, Chris. And I think this is going to be interesting. I thought about this. Does Ottinger get his opportunity to start on Thursday? If you're Rick Bonus, would you start him?
No.
Really? Why?
Because Hudobin's been outstanding, and you don't mess up his rhythm.
Yeah, I just want to see him get a start against a team that is not expected to be a high-octane offense. Like, can you imagine starting him against Tampa Bay or, you know, Carolina or something like that?
I mean, if they're our first back-to-back team, I would say do it either way. Like, I know it seems kind of – like, that seems kind of rude. But, like, we should use him in the spots where we need him most. And where we need him most is in the back-to-back games. So whenever those happen, that's when we should use him. It doesn't matter if it's against Tampa. It doesn't matter if it's against Chicago. So I think, unfortunately, that's what we're going to do.
Well, here's your opportunity. The back-to-back against Carolina is coming up, the 30th and 31st this weekend. So
yep, and I definitely think he's going to play that Sunday.
You're probably right. And that's an awkward start, 4 o'clock on a Sunday. That's weird.
Matinee.
Yeah, that's a not even a early matinee. That's in the middle of the afternoon matinee. That's weird.
They have been trying to spread out games on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get full days of hockey, so that's cool.
Right. So, and you know, something real quick that I noticed just about the NHL before we wrap this whole thing up, because we actually have been talking for a while now. So I didn't even know this, but I'm just going to mention this out just in case those people that are not in the knowledge of this, but the NHL purposely did this. So they put almost all of the games on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday, Sundays. So that leaves open Wednesdays and Mondays, right? So, like, I think yesterday there was one game on throughout the whole NHL, and then tonight there's like 13. And everybody was wondering, well, why are they doing this? And why this is so confusing? And it really isn't. Because I think what they were doing is they were getting themselves ready just in case they had to reschedule some games, which they've already had to do for the Stars and for the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's why they're doing that. And I think it's pretty smart.
I couldn't care less. Let's play hockey.
Right. All right. Anything else, Chris?
That's it. Stars are good. Klinger good. Green good. Hockey fun.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Something we haven't really mentioned much, but we have joined an online sports talk radio station, 365 Sportscast. And you can find our live radio show on Thursdays at 3 o'clock. And we talk anything Dallas, anything that we want to with the NHL. And, anything else.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, it is free.
It's free. So go listen to it.
You can go to 365sportscast.com and on your computer. Or
the app.
And there's an iPhone app. There's also the Android app. So you can go on and listen on there. And there's
365 Sportscast.
And there's a bunch of other great shows on that, too, including In a Pickle, which is one of my favorites. And it's about it's a baseball show. I would highly encourage y'all to go and check that out.
It's not about the Rangers, so we can listen to it. It's okay.
If we had listened to a podcast about the Rangers, it'd
no
be super
Rangers
depressing.
Podcasts.
All right, guys. I'm Ryan, along with Chris.
This is Chris.
This is Sarcastic Remarks. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, wherever. And you can also find us on YouTube. Go and like us on Twitter at SarcasticR, and also on our Instagram.
We have separate YouTube videos, too. Go watch those.
Yep, we're working on those, and my job's getting a little bit crazy right now, but I'm doing my best trying to get some more YouTube videos up there for you. There's also a new video up there about the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, which we'll talk about in our radio show on Thursday. So, love you guys. Appreciate it, and we'll catch you guys
go
on
watch stuff.
The flip side. Go Stars. Go watch them on Thursday night.